This is Pure Decking for Tuesday. What is today, the 1st or the 31st?
Today is the 31st.
31st, okay, I've got a clock wrong somewhere. Today is March the 31st, Tuesday, and I don't know what show number this is. I haven't looked. I'm sorry. It has been one of those days. So if I just start screaming and cursing, just, you know, pretend the intro to the show was I Have Nothing and it'll be exactly the same. So
this would be show number 17?
Yeah.
17. That's creepy that you know that and I don't. Actually,
I have the window open.
Yep.
So I had some show prep done for the show, but most of it's bullshit. And it's getting harder and harder to follow the underground news anymore because it's like, yay, this group took out, you know, 20 websites. That group took out this website. And it's just like, I don't care about website defacement, guys. Let's get something with a little bit more meat on it than, you know, they got into a server that happened to host, you know, 300 WordPress blogs and defaced all of them to show Goatsy. I mean, that's, you know, very 1990s.
Yeah.
That was never cool. I'm sorry.
That's very annoying. I like reading my trash fantasy, and that's done through WordPress, and when they hack that, it makes me make sad face.
Well,
yeah, let's give something interesting, like you actually, you know, rooted a system and then started, you know, doing logs of data and traffic and saw, oh, look, a couple of senators want some really interesting websites here. Let's publish that.
You mean like the hackers getting into Lockheed Martin?
Yeah.
Let's just go right into that. It's pretty, you know, it's probably been all over the news now. Actually, you know, I missed last week because we were out of town, or I was out of town. I went up to a large firewall vendor conference, and it was interesting. The city was fun to visit. Conference itself was kind of ho hum. They need to stop marketing to people who have already purchased their stuff.
Yeah.
So, sorry about missing last week. I only meant to miss Tuesday last week, which was unavoidable because due to weather and the massive storms that hit most of the country, when I went to bed Tuesday, the sun was coming up for Thursday. So, sorry about missing the show. But,
yeah.
I did have several things I had done some show prep for last week, which, of course, most of that's irrelevant now. I just realized I jumped ahead of myself with the Lockheed Martin story because, you know, Heavy gave me the good segue. I didn't even intro everybody yet. We've got Knox, we've got Suave, we've got Heavy. Hi, guys. 5 minutes in,
Hello.
We'll do the intro.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Man, it is one of those days. Suave's got a broken back. I'm pissed off. Heavy is not sick anymore and doing great, and Knox is high, so, you know. At least I'm assuming he's high. I like to think that Knox is high most of the time, because if he was like that when he was normal, God help us all.
Exactly.
You should see me when I'm really high, then.
I imagine Knox as being that guy in the Rage Face comics, you know, that's always grinning with the toque and the bright red eyes. So... Anyways, not even dignifying that one with a response, are you, Knox?
No.
No? Okay.
You're not
fine. I don't blame
Damn,
you.
Damn, you hit too close to home.
I don't blame you. I don't know. I got some music that would fit for the midpoint of the show, but I don't think I can actually play it. It's copyrighted.
Oh, well.
Anyways, though, this, some stuff we missed last week. Apparently, we missed the Rapture. God decided to reschedule that for October. And this is normally a tech show. The only reason I bring it up is because it's funny, and it's a fun logical exercise to explain why this guy is wrong. and you know, you can take either point of view, whether you are religious or not, because I know we've got a good mix here. But if you happen to not believe in God, let's start with that one. If you're not a religious person, you know, obviously it's pretty easy to say, oh, the rapture is bullshit, right? But if you take that stance on it, you know, if you take the stance of, oh, well, religion is, you know, BS and they're just using it to control people, why would they put a date or even anything that could be construed as a date that would prove the whole system wrong if it was some kind of a scam to control people? And I'm not saying most religions aren't. I'm just, you know, for a logical exercise now.
For all three times he's done this, he's taken, like, the number 7 because it's lucky, the number 10 because it's holy, multiplied them together twice.
Well, there is that.
The number of apostles.
Well, I'm approaching this, you know, without even knowing history of the guy. I'm talking just purely logical sense now why he was wrong. And why I was like, you know, everybody's like, the world's going to end. It's like, great, I got shit to do. you know.
Well, pretty much everybody was like that.
Yeah, pretty much. But so obviously, if religion is constructed to control people, then they wouldn't put a timestamp on it because that would then prove it wrong in the scam, right?
Yeah, you can't have that shit. You want the steady flow of money, not a one-time shot. That's
right,
the problem
right.
with this guy.
Now, if you are Christian and do believe the rapture will happen one day, it's, you know, yeah, sure, he might have found some place where if you work with the numbers and roll some dice and take another bong hit, you can work out, you know, what day it's going to happen on. But it's like all over the rest of the Bible that we're not going to know when it's going to happen. So
the instruction manual is there, and it says, don't worry about it, kids. You're supposed to live a good life anyway. This whole forgiveness and you can sin all you want is recent bullshit.
Yep.
Except for the whole, I think we should need to bring back indulgences. That's all I'm saying. Cyber indulgences.
Cyber indulgences. Yeah. Link it to your PayPal account so you can have a little iPhone app. You just go, oh, I just send. Click. Ding. Yay.
It would bring the
Hooray.
Catholic Church back
you
to its former glory.
it's like you could even have multiple buttons on the screen. So, like, depending on your sin, it's like, you know, you just stole something, you hit the button, you pay your $10. It's like you just committed adultery, you hit the button, you pay your $100, you know?
Exactly.
You just committed murder, you click the associated button, police arrive.
Impure thoughts, 50 cents.
Impure thoughts. Oh, I'd be broke. I would be so broke.
Yep.
I just leave a book setting on that button.
Oh, hell. I know that's a bit of I have nothing, but, you know, a couple weeks ago we got some pure decking in our I have nothing, so let's get some I have nothing in our pure decking. Except we don't have RU and I'm not doing a number system. So, oh, hell, where were we? Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
So, I like the little article here. I like this news site. It's where I've been getting a lot of stuff lately, the hackernews.com.
Right.
Their theme is god-awful, and they put one of those horrible flash things at the top to show off their latest stories, but they've got good data, and it's like the Iron Geek website. My God, it looks terrible, but he's got good data, you know? And you put up with bad web design if the data's worth it. So
sort of looks like it's hosted on GeoCities.
Just a little bit, doesn't it? It does kind of have that GeoCities MySpace vibe to it, doesn't it?
It's pretty busy.
Yeah, but the cool thing about getting into Lockheed Martin is it was the same. They were using stuff that was gotten out in the secure ID hack of RSA.
Yeah,
which makes sense. Which makes me wonder: is this like, you know, I don't know, Russia or China doing this? Because if it is, we're never going to hear what they got out of Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
But if it's...
Well, that, not for a couple of years until they come up with a, you know, copy.
Oh, sure.
Until somebody hacks China itself.
Well, we actually use those RSA tokens at work, limited user base, and we got a message from them saying, yeah, you know the little serial number on the back of the token? You might want to keep that hidden. We recommend not sharing that if you don't have to. And it's like, great, that defeats the entire purpose of the RSA hardware token. So two-factor authentication, it's what you have and what the hackers know, or it's two-factor authentication, something you know and something the hackers know when they broke into RSA. So,
yeah.
You know. But,
so they just need to reissue all that bullshit and then they'll be fine, make sure they don't get hacked again.
Oh, that's all heavy. You don't know how hard that is.
Yeah?
Oh. Those little tokens... if they're saying don't let anybody get the serial number on the back of them, because they generate the number on the front of them via that serial number and the time.
I understand the one we should actually go into that for the listeners, but I understand the one-time pad and how that works based on the temporal positioning of in the database.
Temporal positioning, it's a fucking clock. We're not time traveling here.
But yeah, based on the clock.
Okay. Okay, what those little RSA tokens actually are is they are a very small microprocessor, very specific microprocessor. They have a clock, and they have a chip in them, and that chip runs as it takes the clock, and it uses the serial number of the chip of the token as a seed, okay? And it runs those through its math, basically. It's got, I think they're field programmable gate arrays, if you want to be really honest about it. But and they are mass-produced. But, you know, each device has its own unique serial number, and you usually buy them in lots of 25, 50, and they'll come with a disk that you install in the Secure ID server, or, well, whatever RSA product. The Secure ID is the one I'm familiar with. And that loads all the certificates for your devices, so it can decrypt them. And basically, then it just checks the result it gets back when you punch in your password, and then it says, give me the 6-token key. The PayPal thing, the little keychain you get from PayPal, I'm trying to think of another one people would be familiar with.
The
World of Warcraft one.
Authentication keys?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Nox?
Both World of Warcraft and StarCraft.
Yeah, the Battle.net auth keys, the little hardware tokens. Not the one on your phone. The actual keychain one? Same thing.
Oh, no, the one on your phone, that's been hacked all to hell already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they're breaking into people's accounts.
That's a hack.
That's the problem with the stuff on the phone is it's software. You can get the software out and reverse engineer it a lot easier than you can the hardware. Reverse engineering software takes a lot of time and a decompiler. Reverse engineering hardware requires an electrical engineering degree.
Yeah, exactly.
and a lot of time and a lot of talent. And, so that's, there's a little bit more to it than that. But anyways, the reason I brought up Lockheed Martin is because it's the first sign of them pretty sure that they were using the RSA Secure ID hack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the same group, or at least somebody affiliated with whoever got into RSA.
Right.
And, I'm like fucking up my words tonight. It has been that kind of day. Look, and if Skype was finicky with us before we started the show, the stream was finicky with us all weekend. We've actually made it 23 minutes now. Of course, I just sent them a support ticket being like, guys, fix your shit or I'm canceling. So,
with the whole Lockheed Martin thing, though, if it was just some standard run-of-the-mill hackers, odds are that some of this information would get onto WikiLeaks or something similar.
Yeah, we'll hear about it.
If none of this information does get out, that means it was definitely a nation of some kind.
Oh, yeah. Any underground group that's, your standard issue hackers doing it for the lulz, just wanting to see what's in there, they brag. They brag a lot. That's how they usually get caught. And Yeah, WikiLeaks, it'll show up, or one of the clones of WikiLeaks, or 4chan. There'll be torrents of it. It'll be all over the news sites within a week of it getting released. And it'll be like, yep, here's what they're working on. And the fact that hasn't happened, and it's already been.
The terrorists will know everything.
Well, how long has it been since this hack? I mean, the article was posted...
The 29th, I think, or 28th.
27th. Friday. It was posted Friday. So, okay. I don't know. If we don't hear anything from it by next Friday, I would say... Because, I mean, the Sony guys were bragging about the credit card numbers they got inside of 2 weeks. Easy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if I'm... they. Lockheed Martin did the right thing. They basically just took the entire system offline. I've been reading some follow-on articles, and they just said, fuck it, no remote access, which is the right thing to do, and then handle your security situation. Now, here's where I think they actually might have had something better. I think, you know, maybe they only got a little bit of information, because my bet is Lockheed keeps all their shit encrypted. You know, they're not a perfect company by any means, but they're one of the best top secret development companies we've got. I mean, they came up with Tacit Blue, which was the original stealth fighter. They've done quite a bit of this stuff and managed to keep it secret. So my guess is that, you know, if there's anything on there that's really important, it's probably just going to be, you know, people's personal work information. I don't think they're actually going to keep the blueprints or the entire blueprints available to anything secret. So you might see exactly the F-22 or the F-35, but...
Well, we've got complaints from people leaking it out on the file sharing networks by accident before, too.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's already out there.
But you'll find raw specs, part lists, project names.
Well, you see, that's why I wonder. I don't think this was hacktivists. I really don't. Now, granted, admittedly, the nature of hacktivists, you're not going to be able to predict their move. It's like Anonymous. It's like, do you really think you're going to be able to predict who Anonymous is going after 2 months from now?
No.
Hell, 2 weeks from now. I mean, you know, they don't. You know, traditional profit motivated hackers or nationalist hackers, they're predictable. They're going to be going for targets that make sense. Hacktivists, they're going to be going for whatever they can to, I don't know, make noise. I guess
or
it depends
whatever,
on the hacktivist, right?
Or whoever makes a frivolous lawsuit in that time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the group. It depends on who's pissed them off. It's very, well, frankly, it's very high school. But, you know. So I'm not, I don't know. I think you're all right. If we don't hear anything from this in a couple of weeks, it was, I would be willing to bet a foreign national.
Mm.
You know, China or Russia or Israel.
And you know what? India's really good, or they need to step up their fucking game. You know, we haven't heard much from them on the scene. Actually, you know, they don't even have to hack anything. They're already in on all of the IT stuff because we hire them to do most of it.
No. China's worse.
Working on the blueprints calls them up for tech support and screen shares with them.
No, you want to talk about somebody who's got backdoors into everything? Where is everything made? All of our routers, all of our switches, most of our computers.
Yeah.
They're manufactured in the Foxconn plant in China.
Yep.
You mean the one that blew up recently?
I do mean the one that blew up recently from somebody smoking around polished iPads.
To be fair, it was only part of it that blew up.
Well, that was the story, wasn't it? It was the polish for the iPads?
Yeah. Yep, it was the screen polish for the iPad that was in dust form and, you know, no smoking area, but the guy had to have a cigarette, so bam. But,
to be fair, it was probably a safety violation if
it was
able to head off in the first place.
Well, that's the whole point, is they don't have safety rules for the most part because, well, that makes it cheaper.
Well, there is that.
You know,
also, wasn't somebody telling me that the government can basically shut down the plant, move in their own people, and do whatever the hell they want for 12
that
hours
is,
of the
that
day.
Has been a long-standing rumor that because of the rules of the way China runs businesses, that they're only allowed to work, they're only allowed to operate the plants so many hours a day. I don't know how much truth there is to this. This is all rumor.
Oh, okay.
I believe it. It's perfectly believable, but I haven't done the research. This is all off the cuff. But
okay.
There is the long-running rumor that China has laws regarding how long manufacturing facilities are allowed to actually operate during the day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after the 8 hours, 16 hours, whatever it is, they then, you know, they shut the plant down for the rest of the day and make all the regular workers go home. So during the latter half of the day, whatever, the, you know, however long it is before it opens back up, the government supposedly brings in their own people and runs the knockoff products for themselves, basically, and, you know, just doesn't put the brand name on it and doesn't have to pay licensing, copyright, all of the other shit. And we know there's lots of companies who are basically, you know, Brazil has been very brazen, and a lot of South American countries have basically said, yeah, you know what, United States, your intellectual property laws, fuck that. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit. It really wouldn't. Although the rumor I was going for is that China has a lot of their companies are putting backdoors in all the routers and computers and shit, which right, I would and believe.
And that's actually been proven on certain models that, you know, have come into the country. The knockoffs, mostly, of course, the stuff that they're really actually delivering to Linksys or, you know, Netgear or whoever, those are going to be, you know, probably reinstalled by the actual companies here just to make sure. But you know what I would say to you? It wouldn't hurt to flash it yourself.
Well, that's the problem is, you know, where does your firmware come from?
Yeah. Well, so, if you're running a free and open source version of the firmware, which is available for several models of several routers,
that's true. I've been meaning to look at the, how do you say that, Vyatta?
Yeah.
I've got a nice Cisco switch. I want to see if it'll run on, and I don't know if it will or not. It might have to be a router. I don't know, but it'd be cool if I could throw it on the switch and use the switch as a router. Yeah. It's a managed switch. It's not a dumb switch. So there's a shot at it because it really is running a Cisco iOS. So
that'd be cool. And that's the thing is know the software that's running on your system, all of it. So even if you have to flash, I mean, I've got a cousin who took a whole bunch of server-based routers. This guy out in the up north of where I live, there's very little connectivity, so he actually basically set up some systems up there, and that's what he had, is just a bunch of boards sitting in a server rack of these basically consumer-grade routers that he was running. I don't know why the fuck he did that, but anyway, so he replaced them all, and they're caseless, and my cousin had to run basically get a bunch of used power supplies and solder them onto the board just to make them work. But to get to the point, he basically went and reflashed them all and they worked again. He's like, you know, the guy could have saved himself a bunch of money replacing this shit if he'd have just, you know, reflashed them. But
well,
whatever.
That's true of a lot of people. You'll see a lot of places that when a computer just gets so malwared up that as opposed to trying to do a format and reinstall or if the hard drive's starting to go, they'll just throw the whole machine out and buy a new one versus just putting a new hard disk in it. A new hard disk you can get for $60.
Those are all the people who don't know that they should actually hire a competent tech guy in the company somewhere. Actually listen to what they have to say.
Not the tech support provided by the person who sells you the new computers.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I've been toying with the idea of doing some sort of online tech support through Morps Tech just to see if I could do it, but I would be afraid I would lose my mind.
you would probably shoot yourself in short order having to deal with a lot of...
Especially over the phone.
No. We wouldn't do over the phone. We'd get one of those, log me in or Ignition or...
Oh, yeah, but even with something like that, you'd have to converse with the people.
Oh, no, actually, we'd just go for broke. We'd just be like, okay, I'm going to send you a Meterpreter payload. You're going to run it. It's going to connect to my server, and then we will fix your machine using hacker tools.
I like that.
I like it, too, actually. I may make a business model on
less
that.
Less effort on my part.
You know what? That's the most user-friendly way of doing it, because, sure, you'll get into their box, but they were going to let you into their box anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, they don't have to go configure everything.
You know, it's like, great, I've got system-level access to the system. I can fix everything. All they have to do is walk away. They know I'm in it, and they can't even see I'm doing anything. It's wonderful.
So, yeah.
But on that note, let's go ahead and hit this last story here. I figured we'd spend the latter half of the show talking about a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, which is building your digital dojo. So, Heavy, your cousin, we'll be talking about that again here shortly. But so we'll do that after the break, and I've got some interesting music picked out for the break. I think I can play it. If not, sorry, guys. we got a story here. This is also off Hacker News. I had a bunch of other stories, but they just weren't relevant anymore, you know? This is Microsoft hired a 14-year-old kid. Did it say where he was from? Dublin. He's from Dublin. Microsoft hired him because he was running a phishing scam in Call of Duty Modern Warfare on Xbox Live. So they hired him. And they're working with him to develop his talent for legitimate purposes, is the quote. But,
so is this some sort of work study, or...
Oh, I would assume, but...
Because they definitely don't want his skills. Everybody and their grandkids can fish some cod.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Fishing, well, it's social engineering, right? But that, if you think about it, this is how you fix the problem, is if you don't want your machines to get hacked, you hire a hacker, because they know how to do it. If you
especially
don't want
the guy who hacked your machines.
You know, if Sony had hired Geohot, I'll bet they would have had a lot of... they wouldn't be having the problems they're having now.
Oh, yeah. And he even said... that's probably one of the reasons why they didn't hire him. Because he said that he wanted them to hire him.
Well, you know, that used to be a big thing, is if you go do this big, you know, hack for a company and let them know what's up and help them out, they used to hire you. And they quit doing that around the time of the dot-com bust, because it was decided that that's encouraging people to hack you if you hire your hackers. But on the other hand, when you've got people like, what's a good example? The iPhone dev team, the people who keep doing all the iPhone jailbreaks.
Yeah.
If Apple would hire those people as opposed to sending them cease and desists, do you know how secure their software would get overnight?
Oh, yeah. I actually prefer the Google method, which is pay in a bounty and tell us how you did it. That way people continue to do the good hacks and get that information, and then they get the payoff.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. That is actually probably one of the better ways of doing it.
Well,
but... you know, that's not always doable with a lot of different companies.
True. But the point of the matter is, what, you know, they haven't, you know, you're starting to see some companies figure it out again, that you've got people who've put a lot of time and effort into understanding your systems, be it a social system, an electrical system, software, you know, your games, whatever. They've put a lot of time and effort into understanding it, which means they're probably already big fans. And if you came at them, gave them a little bit of money, and said, help us out here, most of them would do it. And truth be told, a lot of them, you wouldn't have to give them that much money.
Oh, absolutely.
People are only after a comfortable living. I mean, you know, that's the thing.
Well, if you go to a guy who's okay, if I've spent all damn day messing with a concept of a reverse IDS box, and it's not been fun. But pretty much the idea is a fun one, though. You take your standard IDS box and reverse it. You call the internet connection your internal network, and you call your internal network the outside. And what this does is this looks for attacks going out, right?
Right.
It's actually not that hard to set up, but tuning it is going to be a bitch. I turned it on and got over 6,000 false positives immediately. It was flagging people with tracking cookies and tracking software installed hitting one of my web servers. It's like, this is somebody like out in bumfuck Iowa with a toolbar installed in his browser, and my system was flagging it because it thought one of my users had the toolbar installed and was hitting a web server. So getting it tuned is going to be a bitch, but the concept is to look for outgoing attacks, because then you know a machine's rooted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Something I've been playing with, but
that's going to be fun when those notices go out. Your machine's been hacked. You need to do a reformat and reinstall. Students are going to be like, "No, not my term paper."
Oh, I don't even do that shit. I just turn their access off and be like, "Yep, go to ResNet." It's like, you know, I turn your access off the moment the alerts go away, that gets filed under not my problem. So it's like, I lost my turn paper and all my music. Yeah, it sucks to be you, doesn't it? I
yeah,
am
cool.
An asshole. Anyways, the concept, where was I going? Oh, right, the reason I brought up the reverse IDS, one thing it does is it's looking for SQL injection. But having it running in reverse, it's flagging every time I see somebody's outgoing, you know, connection to like a website to, say, Facebook with SQL injection in the URL, or, you know, the SQL commands. And it's like, your application has your SQL embedded in the URI. I can fuck with that. So, yeah. You know, if I find a hole in somebody's web app because I'm running this crazy system and develop a repeatable hack, if I could send it off to them and they'd send me a check for $200, you think I wouldn't do that? I mean, I'm not even talking. I'm talking about enough to, you know, buy some memory or a hard drive or, you know, a really nice cup of coffee. I'm not even after, you know, extra megabucks for doing the hacks. I'm just, you know, hey, just a little something for your time, you know?
Exactly.
So, anyways, we're going to go into the break here. I've got a different kind of track for you. It's a little bit of dark step, and I think I can play this. I had the info for the track up. Got this from darkstep.org. I believe the original artist's name is Sinister Source. This is the Sister Haunting Bass Fuck remix. So you all may or may not like this. I don't know. It's kind of fun. I've been hunting up new music because I've been trying to take the station 24. So I'm gonna put the call on mute and play this track, and we'll see what y'all think. A little different. What'd you all think of that one?
That was a good one. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
That came in. The archive I actually pulled off Darkstep had like 12 remixes of this same track. And the original track is actually really dark. It's got like kids screaming and, you know, all this stuff in it. And that was one of the lighter remixes of it. So, well, I don't know. I thought about playing one of the little bit more evil ones, but I thought that one was good. So
yeah, it works.
Everybody else back?
Yo.
Okay. Well, we lost Heavy somewhere.
He's probably still off getting a drink.
Getting a drink, yeah. Well, getting a drink, drinking from the toilet, using the toilet, I'm not sure which. Anyways, so where was I? I had something we were going to... Virtualization, building your digital dojo.
Right.
Now, I approach things from the security standpoint, but mm-hmm. there's a lot more reasons to do this than just... you're wanting to hack stuff.
Right.
I like using virtualization. You don't actually have to, though. And for some devices, you can't.
Perhaps you should give us a definition first.
Of virtualization or the digital dojo?
Both of them.
Both of them? Okay.
All right.
Well, a digital dojo would be... Oh, Heavy's back. Did you get your drink?
Yep. Good one. Got iced tea.
All right. Feel better?
95 fucking degrees today. It ain't even summer yet. We are screwed.
Yeah, it was pretty hot this weekend too. Went out and played some disc golf, and pretty sure I got sunburned. So
I've actually been, and on that, the sign of the idea of the digital dojo, you know, I really do like the the concept of getting your software set up, having your own basically custom-built maybe Linux install, because actually some people have been getting into that lately, and they're talking about, I want to mention that the hacker party.
Well, we were just...
Or the pirate party decided that they were going to design their own custom-built Linux.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even get that far yet. You picked up your headphones and started talking. So we were just getting into the concept here. So,
all right.
What a digital dojo is, or at least what I think it is what I call it, is it's a collection of machines that you've set up specifically to practice. Whether it's building and configuring networks, whether it's programming, whether it's trying out Linux, you know, mm-hmm. it's specifically a group, a collection of machines. Hell, it could just be one machine. It could be the extra old beater computer that nobody gives a crap what happens to it. And so you've got it quad booting into three different versions of Linux and two, you know, and Windows, and you know, that's
and just as an aside here, real quick, college auctions are your friend. They will be selling machines that are on average 3 to 5 years old, and you're going to get them for $30 or $40 for the machine,
dude,
and it's perfect.
Okay, not only that, friends and family, just as, you know, people buy new computers all the time. You just go, hey, Dad, what are you doing with that old computer? You know, the one you replaced? Oh, it's sitting in the corner? I'll take that off your hands. You know, it's like, you know, it's just in the way. You've got too much junk. You know, a lot of times they'll just give it to you. You know, if you know, I got a buddy of mine who he upgrades all the time, and he'll sell me his old stuff for about half what he paid for it. So, my digital dojo has an old desktop of mine, which is actually a fairly good gaming machine, currently running VMware ESX, a file server, which is running a Linux build, which needs some attention at the moment, and just a stack of old laptops. Just running various versions of Windows, Linux. I think I've got one that's a Hackintosh at the moment, but and that's all it is. Is it's just like a real dojo. It's a place to practice, and it's a place to to perfect your kung fu.
Yeah.
But I come at it from a security standpoint. So I'll build systems and then attack them, right? But a systems guy, his might be, he sets up his own private Windows domain and two or three workstations and an Exchange server so he can practice administering an Exchange server. A hardcore coder, Linux coder, might build two or three different systems to test his code on to make sure it's going to work across all the major distros. This is why I like stuff like VMware ESX or you can get away with like Workstation or VirtualBox, or Xen or KVM or Parallels or what's the one I'm forgetting? QMU. There is a lot of options out there for doing virtualization. And if you want, you can even throw like OpenStack or Eucalyptix in on top of them, and then you've got your own cloud solution like Amazon EC2. And actually, speaking of Amazon EC2, you can spin up virtual machines on EC2 for free. I think it's like for a year. I think it's like one per credit card. So what you do is you go on Pastebin and you Google dork for visas. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Dear God, don't do that.
Well, no, it's actually even better than that. I think all you have to do is pay for one album and they give you access for the year.
Well, they give you storage. I'm referring to actually spinning up VMs.
Okay.
In the EC2 solution. They will actually, in all seriousness, you can spin up an EC2 instance for free. You can run it for a year, and as long as you stay below the minimal usage and the minimal bandwidth, they won't charge you, and then after a year they charge you whatever their rates are. Oh, the stream just reset. We were doing good.
We made it a good long way.
It was a good run.
Listener.
Anyway, well, hopefully they'll reconnect. I don't know. I mean, I use Butt Broadcast using this tool, and it reconnects immediately. You just see the time reset. But because when it does that, if it reconnects fast enough, you just suddenly get this massive jump in the stream where it loses like 10 seconds.
Okay.
So I hate it. I hate that it's doing this. I've submitted a ticket, and if my hosting doesn't get it fixed, I'm going to cancel it and find somebody who will.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's been going on, because I've been using the same rig for months now, and we haven't had a problem. And suddenly this starts. So
yeah,
pisses me off.
So we were talking about, and so the Digital Dojo is definitely important. And so on that note, just got announced by Asus, their EEE PC, the X101, a $200 netbook. So now they're getting down into real cheap prices for a portable machine. And this thing's actually running like, it's still running an Intel processor, but it's like a 645, or N645. So it's actually going to be like a 1.5 gigahertz processor, probably with a gig or two of RAM, and, tiny little bit of flash storage. But that's cool. I mean, that's all you need.
Okay, here's a great tip. If you're wanting to build one of these things and you don't care about portability, go on eBay and look for broken laptops, specifically ones with broken screens, because the rest of the laptop probably still works fine. You take the screen off, you can hook it up to a monitor, you've got a decent machine. And usually you can get them for less than $100. I've had several of those. Usually I try to mod them.
You could make them still pretty small if you get the right LCD monitor, although you're not going to be able to power it portably. You're going to have to plug it into a wall, but you could still make it a pretty compact design if you do it right.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and the other thing you could do, too, is, get two or three of the same model broken laptop and get a couple of working machines out of them.
Yeah.
Just do the part swap. But I've done that trick before, where you take the old laptop with the busted screen and you just, you open it up, you take the screen out, and most of them just snap out. Then you screw the base of it back together, and then you essentially have a Commodore 64 styled computer, which is just the base of the laptop with no screen, and you just hook it up to a monitor, KVM. Or if you're doing the right kind of software, especially if you're in the network side of things, you set up VNC, SSH, TeamViewer, whatever your remote management software of choice is on this machine. Then you can unhook it from the monitor, stack them over in the corner. And by the way, sturdy metal paper stacks, those office supply things, are great for stacking old laptops that way and making kind of pseudo server racks.
That's cool.
And you were talking about your friend who takes all of his routers apart and, puts them into pseudo racks and wires them up with custom power supplies.
Well, you got to imagine, these things are just boards the way they originally come. And they actually don't come with any of the fancy enclosures that people have. So you can go, and essentially the old power supplies got ditched. So what he did is he went out into an auction and just bought a bunch of power supplies, the right voltage, and just soldered them right onto the board. And that's, and I could he's like, hey, anybody want a 5-port, you know, a router? And I'm like, well, no, I don't need them. I've got three of my own. But, you know, in, I like that. Again, that's something that if you have the opportunity, if you don't have a job in technology and you're not building systems on the side or you're not working, and so I'll come back to Digital Dojo, and you're not playing around, go volunteer to work for the technology guy in your area, the computer repair guy. Say, hey, can I come back in and do some repair? Do you have some drudgery and scut work? You want me to install a bunch of OSs on new builds? I'll do that, or I'll build the new systems.
Well, you got to be careful with that, and you got to get the right technology guy. You got to get one who's actually going to be willing to work with you and show you stuff. Because if you try to come volunteer for me and you don't know how to install Windows, I'm probably going to get pretty frustrated with you.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about, you know, basically, or go buy, you know, pay for an internship, or if you can get the, you know, thing subsidized at your local community college,
sure,
do that too.
Sure, that's definitely one meant, you know, go taking courses. But, you know, it for me, it's always been about just getting your hands on whatever you can and making it work. And you learn so much more fiddle farting around on your own, and when you get really stuck Googling for stuff. But, you know, once you learn how to do that, you don't have to take a class or rely on somebody else to show you how to do it, because what you learn when you build a system like that is not how to do X.
Right.
You know, you don't have to know how to do everything on a computer as long as you know
really
how to
good.
Learn how to do anything on the computer. If you
I just
teach
got
yourself,
really good folks.
If you teach yourself how to learn... I'm sorry, Heavy, I know you've got, you're burning to say something, but I want to get this out.
All
if
right.
you teach yourself how to learn and how to educate yourself, you don't have to go to school. Well, it's handy to get the paper, but you don't have to go to school. You don't have to, you know, study at the feet of the master. If you can teach yourself, then you it doesn't matter. Just be willing to know something tomorrow that you don't know today, and then you're gold.
And I, that's very important, and I agree with that. That is my absolute philosophy. I try to teach anybody that I can that to do that. My point was, and this may not be true to everybody, when I walked in, I was told, oh, there's a stack of PCs, desktops and towers that we have come back in from repair. Find out why they're all broken. And basically, I just spent the whole afternoon, the first time, just tearing apart these machines, you know, figuring out what was wrong with them, and got to play with a whole bunch of hardware, which again comes back to the, gee, I didn't have to pay for any of it, and in fact, I got a little bit of a bump back in my work-study money. So you can get paid for it if you do it right, and if you get a chance to work with a variety of hardware, you know, that's the big point, is try to get your hands on as much of the different stuff as possible so you're not just stuck learning how to build an Intel board or an AMD board.
Well, not just hardware now. Hardware and software. Get your hands on as many different operating systems as you can.
Oh, yeah.
On as many
what does
different...
it do? How well does it do it? I play with everything. I am not opposed to running a Linux. Actually, I have my speaking of the old machines that your family had, I set my dad's old PC up to run Linux, and stream audio for him out in his garage because, you know, why not?
Yeah, but no, it's not just that gets back to why I was talking about virtualization, why I have an ESX server in my house. That's you know, data center grade iron, right? I'm not running it on a high-end server because those things are loud. I gave that away because it made so much noise. But no, I actually took an old gaming PC that the hardware was pretty close to an ESX box. The only problem I'm having with it is it's not detecting all the hard drives I've jammed in it, so those are going to have to get pulled out and stuck in the file server, which is fine. That's, you know, just one more thing. But, you know, stuff like that. It's like that right there. I'm running VMware ESXi on a box, and it's like, oh, it's not picking up the IDE drives. How do I make those work anyways? I put them in another machine, and I figure out how to do networked drives for VMware. That right there. You know, I'll be honest with you. What I learned in school, because I have 2 degrees. What I learned in school, I don't use ever, hardly. Well, beyond the basics, obviously, like, you know, IP addressing and how to make a Cat5 cable. But, like, the details of this is how you use software X. Go ahead, Knox.
You can take 2 years' worth of classes or spend 2 hours fooling around with X-Perl.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But,
well, it is nice to have that. Again, it is nice to have the paperwork. So if you go to a place that will give you money to do what you are capable of doing, so don't overlook that.
But the reason I bring up VMware is nice, and the reason I use that is because that's what I use at work as well. So it's handy to have the same environment. But there's a lot of other virtualization software out there. The other big one I would mention is VirtualBox. VMware Player is free. VirtualBox is free. VirtualBox is open source, actually. Parallels is the Mac virtualization software. It is not free. It's comparable to the VMware offering for Mac. I think it's the same speed, too. All three of those are really more oriented towards you're running them on a desktop and you're running other desktop machines to do work in a different operating system, play with them, whatever. Then you've got your server-level virtualization, and these are intended for data centers. And you've got the VMware hypervisor, which is the ESXi box, which is what I'm running. Then you also have KVM, you have Xen, and you have QMU. Now, those are all... Xen and KVM and QMU... Well, no, I take that back. I was about to say that you guys spend a lot of time on the command line to really use those, but Red Hat has put together some very nice tools in CentOS and in Fedora and in Red Hat Enterprise, obviously. Oh, man, the stream keeps resetting. That's distracting. Well, I'm sorry. If you're listening on the stream, download the show when we're done. I'm sorry, guys. I really am. But
Heck, I'm here and I'll download it anyways.
Yay, I have a listener. Oh wait, it's one of the hosts.
Yeah.
Or guests, or we never really figured out the terminology on this show. We just show up. Fuck it, I don't care. Red Hat has put together a very nice tool for managing virtual machines running in Xen or KVM, and I'm pretty sure that stuff has been ported to all the major Linuxes. And you can always set up the Eucalyptics front end on top of KVM for a Ubuntu machine, and then you get cloud style services where you spin up virtual machine images and you just spin them up and they're good to go. So there's a lot there to play with, and the only unfortunate part about it is once you start building one of these, if you really get into it like I did, you just don't stop. You end up with stacks of old machines, and you start throwing them away just because they break. Not you never throw away a working machine, God no. But heaven forbid you throw away that 286 with 4 megs of RAM, that will run still ass.
the summer I went and bid 50 cents on the old CRT monitors that they had at the college auction, and I walked away with about 120 of the sons of bitches. But I ended up selling them for like $10 a piece to people, and I say, if they break on you after a couple of weeks, let me know, I'll replace it. I ended up making out a profit, but basically just driving away truckloads of the damn things.
Yep.
Don't overlook the old hardware. You can use it for something.
Yeah. Well, hell, I've got two Commodore 64s sitting in the closet. That's the level of damage we're talking here. So.
Well, you were actually using those for controllers at one point.
I was using those for controllers at one point, and I believe the agent was using one as a prop for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't ask questions of what that guy's doing. We are doing more shows. We're bringing back the Agent Paranoia show. We haven't decided on how we want to film, but we are bringing that back. I don't know when, because that's a shit ton of work for both me and the agent. And but it's that's going to come back soon. So,
all right.
Anyways,
Schwab, what's in your digital dojo?
The new digital dojo. Oh God, I have no clue.
Okay.
You put me on the spot, man. I've got nothing.
Oh, okay.
We know he's got the CNC mill.
Yeah, I was gonna say you've got the
MakerBot. That's what
part of yours. You made the MakerBot, and you do a lot of the video editing stuff. I mean, you got Red Octagon.
I don't. What?
No.
Not you. That's right.
No, that's Yugo.
That's Yugo, yeah. Okay.
That's Yugo Saki at Red Octagon TV, RO Studios.
We're both Canadian, so I can see that there's only a couple of us up here. It's easy to confuse us.
Yeah, sorry.
So it's understandable.
You're all just being Canadian up there. Plug his website. What's the URL? rostudios.org? Or is it .com? So give Hugo the plug. RO Studios, good stuff. He does his own. He's done a lot of video. He really has.
Yeah.
So, anyways, wasn't we'll fade out now with
series coming out.
I'm sorry. What was that, Knox?
Didn't I hear something about him starting a new series or just at least some new shows soon?
I haven't talked to him in a while, so I don't know. I hope he is. He does some good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, we've got another one of these Sister Haunting remixes. This is quite a bit darker one. This is the GVS Symphony of Terror remix. So
awesome.
I haven't had time to pull down all the music I was coming across. So once we get things set up and they're actually on the wrong drive, that's why I keep pulling from the same albums. I am not organized at all. It's because I spent all afternoon fighting with the damn stream. So.
Oh, well.
Anyways. All right, so let me mute the call here, and we will call it for Tuesday's show, and I will see you guys Thursday.
The screams of the dying will fill the air. A symphony of terror is about to begin. Thank you.
Wait. I just realized we went the entire show without any sound effects. And they're not working.